So everything is all ready at home for everyone. You've got all the stuff is done. The decorating is all up. All the presents purchased. All the plans are made. All the stuff that's part of this holiday season is complete, right? Everything has all of it done. Lots of stuff going on this season, no doubt. And clearly there can be a little bit of anxiety, a little bit of chaos in the season, no doubt. And, you know, there are some that would say, you know, we've got this whole thing so commercialized, we're missing the true meaning of the season, which I don't know, doubt that for sure can happen. But, you know, within all the stuff that we do and all the celebrating that we do, I still think that all the some of these things that might seem so far away from what this season's really all about really are on it, and they are symbols of something else. You know, I got gobs of trees and lights that are in this place, you know, that we did. And, you know, where does that come from? Well, you know, the background of where the Christmas tree came and holly and all that stuff probably came from, you know, other kinds of traditions. But, you know, we use it to reference something else. You know, the green of the tree, the green is the color of life, this new life that we celebrate in the coming of Christ. And the fact that tree's pointing upwards is a symbol that tells us to keep looking up. Green, the color, and red, the other color that we use during Christmas, is symbol of the blood that was shed for the one who'd come. And the thousands of lights that we put in here, you know, and you no doubt put at home, are symbols of Christ who came as our light. And Jill talked about, you know, we can kind of maybe get messed up a little bit on presents sometime, and the focus gets turned away from, you know, what it is I'm going to get. But, you know, really the act of presence and giving is because of what has been given us. And that is the basis by which we do all the gift giving at Christmas, because we've been given so much and we want to give in return. And all those parties, you know, either you got to prepare for, you got to dress up and go to, and whether it's a work party or a family party, you know, it's about love, and it's about spreading the joy and celebrating that which came to us, He who came to us during this time. So yeah, in the middle of it all kind of being, you know, stressful perhaps and busy and a lot going on, I think there's something about us that we are created kind of to celebrate and to party. I think we are cut out to do this, to express our joy together in how we get together in reunions and the customs that we do as we think about starting Advent this Sunday. And for this good purpose, that we are beings that need to be reminded about our faith story, that we do go back this year and we remember what this is all about, this faith story that we have, so that we can continue to celebrate it and share it as well with others. I think the stuff that we do in all of those rituals, you know, like Christmas and Easter and Good Friday, you know, no doubt the stuff that we do there, we do it for the purpose of bringing glory to God. But I think it's also good for us to do as well, that we would remember. And also it provides this means by which others who perhaps don't know this awesome story of Christmas might find the way to know that truth as well. So here's my question for you. Do you think there will be Christmas in heaven? Do you think we will be celebrating Christmas when we are in heaven? Will we celebrate when Christ came to the world, when we are there with all the other followers and we're gathered there? Will we have Christmas trees inside the pearly gates, if there is such a thing as pearly gates? Or what about the other holy days? You know, when we're in heaven, will we celebrate Easter? Will we celebrate Good Friday? Will those be things that we will be doing? Well, I don't think we can know that for sure in any way, but, you know, I think we could dream a little bit. I think we can imagine a little bit about what it might be like. Here's some things that we do know. Let's think about heaven just a little bit. Here's some scripture that I pulled out that I think, because it's in scripture, we can know it's true. You will read the Christmas story that comes from the book of Luke in chapter 2. We'll no doubt read it several times. You'll read it at home. And it is that Christmas story. And remember, those shepherds were out in their fields doing their shepherd thing. And it says, an angel of the Lord in verse 9 stood before them, And he told him this good news about what was about to happen in the city of David. You know the story. And then after he tells the shepherds the good news, Scripture says this, and sometimes we look over this part, but it says, "And suddenly there was with that angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and singing, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he favors.'" Multitudes of heavenly hosts, beings in heaven that are with that angel. The author of Hebrews is talking to the Jewish people about this new faith that we have, and he's comparing this faith to the faith that they had known before. And he tells them that you have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly. He's revealing to us that there are multitudes of angelic beings in heaven. Millions of them, and billions and gajillions, if that's even a word. Another passage that I pulled out here, remember when Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane? It's the night that he is going to be arrested and betrayed. And remember that story? He's been praying, and then his accusers come, and Judas offers a kiss, and that's a signal to the Roman guard to say, "This is the one you're looking for. This is Jesus." Remember the story? And if you remember part of the story here, it's not in all the gospel accounts, but in a couple of them, it's Peter that grabs out a sword and he takes a lash at one of the guards and he cuts his ear off. Remember that? His name's Malchus, and Jesus touches the ear and he heals it. And he says back to them, he said, "Put your sword back in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword." And then he says this about heaven: "Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father and he will at once send more than 12 legions of angels, or 60,000 angels, if that was the Father's will, he could have done that." And I share that with you because that's another indication of what heaven is like. Here, Jesus could have called, he says, 60,000 angels to take care of the deal that he had to deal with, but that wasn't the will of the Father. Point being, lots of angels that are in heaven, lots of other created beings that are there. And what are they doing? Well, the Luke passage said they were singing. Angels are singing and they're praising God. "Glory to God in the highest," they sung. There's a passage in Revelation where John sees what's going on there, and all these created beings, non-human beings, are there, and they sing. 24/7 they're singing. And he points this out because finally they get to sing a new song: "You are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals." They're singing and they're praising, and I believe they're partying. So I believe that there's this whole myriad of creatures that are there. Partying might not be the right word, but I kind of think that is what they're doing. Is this celebration because they are in the presence of God. Innumerable. Can't count them because there are so many doing heaven stuff, which is singing and praising. Will there be Christmas in heaven? I kind of like to think there will be. I kind of like to think that when we're there, we will remember and we will commemorate and we will celebrate what happened. And maybe more than just Christmas. Maybe there will be other holidays as well, which I look forward to because I like holidays. I like getting together and doing all this stuff. I like to eat. You can tell. You know, I like pie, and probably we're going to have those kinds of things that are happening there. And I think perhaps celebrating Christmas and maybe other days as well. Think about, you know, we from this side read the story about when he came and in his resurrected body he was here, and he was here for several days, and he taught, he performed signs, and he was with the people, but then he left. Remember the angel or the disciples stood there and they saw him ascend into the heavens. An angel stood before him and said, "Hey, you know, freak not here, he's going to come back." But that day he left and he went to heaven. I'm thinking, you know, what was that like on the other side? I bet that was a joyful thing for the angels because the king is returning to glory. I think that's another day that perhaps we will celebrate when we're there. Another kind of Christmas type day that we perhaps would celebrate because the king has returned to his place of glory on his throne. That might be another one of those days that we put on our calendar when we're in heaven that we're going to plan for festivities then, and we'll decorate in a different way. Maybe use different colors. One of the hopes of our faith is that Christ will return, that he will physically return back here, and he will rescue us and wrap this existence that we are in here up and bring it to an end. The return of Christ, the great day of the Lord. We believe that to happen. Some say soon. Some think that to happen soon. I think that's another day that when we're in heaven, we will celebrate because we will commemorate when he returned. And he did away with sin and death and decay and disease and all these things once and for all. I think it'll be another time that we will party. But think about what Christmas, what we begin to celebrate today, the Advent in our church, what it would be like from all of those angelic beings, the cherubs and the seraphs and the angels. What was Christmas like for them? How would they possibly, we don't know for sure, but let's think about it just a bit. What would it be like for those beings who are there that would remember when Jesus left his throne to become flesh? From their perspective, what would have that been? What would have that been like? Well, here's what we know for sure. Let's think just a little bit about what Scripture tells us about Jesus. Because I think we can make the statement that Jesus was there then. And even that statement's kind of a loaded statement because, you know, he was there. That's a reference to space, but Jesus transcends space. So it's difficult to think about that he was there. And then, but again, Jesus transcends time. So he was there even before. But look at some of these scriptures that talk about this. From John, he, Jesus, was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him. All stuff came into being through Jesus at creation. And without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life. And the life was the light of all people. There's light. Why we put so many lights up? Because we believe he is the light for all people. And that word became flesh, verse 14, and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. So we know Jesus was there way before he was human with those angelic creatures. Jesus told his followers a tricky statement here that as well. Very truly, I tell you, before Abraham, Abraham's their guy. He's their guy. He says, before him, I am. Indicating he was already. He was ever present. Before, after eternity, that was him. Before even Abraham. Paul in the book of Colossians talks about Christ being ever present. He says he, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, all things have been created through him and for him. And again in 1 Corinthians, a similar kind of verse, it says, yet for us there is but one God, the Father, from whom all things came, and for whom we live, and there's but one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things came and through whom we live. So who is he? Who is Jesus? Well, he was before all this. He was before the created beings, you and I. He was before the angels. He was before all that, yet he was in their presence. And, you know, maybe, again, I'm imagining here because we don't know this for sure, and maybe this is bold, but we know there are this thousands and thousands of these created beings who for so long have been worshiping their Creator, the Father and the Spirit and the Son. And he was with them since the beginning, doing all that heavenly stuff. And then Christmas. And then he came. And he left that glory. He left that throne to come here. And what, again, would that been like for those people that were in heaven? Well, I don't think it's about Christmas. I think you got to go about 9 months back. I think you'd have to, if you think about from their perspective, what would Christmas be like for them? I think you got to go back 9 months before that, because that is when Jesus left all of that glory, all of that splendor. He left that realm and that dimension that's so much different than ours. A dimension that's not limited by space and time that you and I are limited by. He was in a space where there was no pollution because of the effects of sin. It was perfectly pure and holy. That's where he was 9 months before Christmas. A place where there was no death. no decay, no suffering, no pain. A place where there was this perfect communion that was in harmony with everything that was present. And so on that day, 9 months before Christmas, when Jesus is sent to us, all of those beings had to say goodbye for now to the one that they were in the presence of for so long. And they sent him off to become this helpless child in diapers that was to be born 9 months later. And I think that was something that they probably to this day are commemorating because of the importance of what Christmas was for all of humankind. I believe they are commemorating that day when they said goodbye for now to go and do what the Father's will was. And I think that that is something that maybe we will one day get to join in their celebration as well, that we will remember that day when he was sent from glory to come here and be our glory. And then on that day will be that day where all tongues will confess that he's Lord. When he left all of that splendor for us. In the book of Philippians, Paul writes this about that day. That day, I believe, that was 9 months before Christmas. He says, Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. So when Jesus was in his glory pre-Christmas 2,000 years ago, fully God, but it wasn't something that Paul says he considered to be fully grasped or something that he should hold on to forever, because he gave part of that up because there was something much more important that needed to be done. And it was his Father's will to do that which was so important, to leave all those beings that he was with, doing all that heavenly stuff because there was something more important. Verse 7 says, but he then made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Jesus existed forever, but he wasn't forever a human. He became human on Christmas, and that's what this verse is talking about. He said goodbye to that which once was. And it was those beings during that time that would have saw him off to do this great thing that had to be done, that took a human to do. Verse 8 says, and being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. He entered our world on that day that's dominated by death and decay, disease, to become death for us. And so therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above all names, that at the name of Jesus every knee would bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. Tongues confessing and bringing glory to God. I think that's what we do now, and I think that's what we ultimately will be doing then in heaven. I think that's what we will be doing then. And I look forward to that because I like the parties that we get to do here. I like Christmas and I like celebrating Easter. And I think that's what we will continue to do there. But it will be in the presence of all the other believers that have gone on before us. And it will be in the presence of all of those other beings who have been doing it for millions and millions of years. We will remember what God had done on those days where he moved for the benefit of all humankind. We'll be celebrating that day when those people that were there said goodbye to the Son for a time. But what that meant for the billions and billions of people by what he accomplished when he was here. What a great party that will be. You think Christmas is cool here? How awesome those parties will be then. And I look forward to that. But for now, here, you and I in this time, we need to know that he left all that for me. All of that splendor and all of that glory He put aside and he took on flesh for me. He left all of that for you as well. Let's pray.